thanks. So, yeah, lights off would be good. Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. So Rani and I went to the John Main seminar, which is just north of Vancouver. It's held in different places. It's an annual gathering of the World Community for Christian Meditation, which is a network of Christian meditation groups around the world, and they gather once a year for this for a retreat and a seminar. So the retreat is more internal reflection and quiet time, and the seminar has a guest speaker, which has lectures. So we didn't go to the retreat because we were too busy having fun in the Rocky Mountains. But we did go to the John Main seminar, and the lectures were given by Sarah Batchelard from Canberra. She's an Anglican priest who runs a contemplative church in Canberra. And the main theme of her series of lectures was, what's the relationship between meditation and a tradition such as Christianity? So over a series of five lectures, she explored the theme, why not just meditate? Why do we need Christianity? If meditation is great, why not just meditate? So I'm not going to try to replicate her lectures, but they are available online in audio and visual form, and they're going to be produced into a book soon. And they were really, really good. But today I just wanted to reflect a little bit on meditation. Some of us meditate a lot, some a little, and some not at all. So I thought we'd just begin with a little experience, 10-minute experience of meditation in the Christian tradition, and then reflect a little bit about that. So meditation, the prayer of the heart. You've got to turn this on. So that's where we were, Squamish, which is just an hour and a half drive north of Vancouver. Pretty nice place to be meditating with 200 other people. So just a very quick word before we actually do a meditation. There are basically in the Christian tradition two ways of thinking about prayer, or ways of describing prayer, one called cataphatic prayer and the other apophatic prayer. So looking at the etymology for a minute, so phatic means to be revealed, for something to be seen, and kata is a word meaning through. So cataphatic prayer is the way something is revealed to us through something else. So most prayer in the Christian tradition throughout history has been cataphatic prayer. So revelation occurs through word or through an image. So for example, looking at an icon initially is cataphatic prayer, or music. We've been doing a lot of cataphatic praying this morning. Waiting to receive revelation, or waiting for something to be revealed through something else, through word, through music, through image, through sensation. A much less well-known type of prayer for most people is apophatic prayer, but a type of prayer which has really been carried through history in the monastic tradition. And apo means to withdraw or to take away from. So revelation through something being taken away rather than through something. So not this. As soon as we think we know what it is, it's not that. It's something else. So it's sometimes called the negative way or the via negativa, meaning the stripping away. Not that. So Christian meditation falls into the apophatic tradition. In contrast to, for example, Ignatian prayer, which is imagining images or working through the imagination on texts in order to... we actually imagine Jesus talking to us, for example, in an Ignatian prayer, whereas in this kind of meditative prayer, apophatic prayer, we are, every time a thought or an image or a feeling occurs to us, we let it go. So apo meaning to take away, to let go, to release, and to focus back onto something else. Now, the brain is not very good at doing this. Most people's brains, as Elise said, mine included, are very active. So as soon as we start to take things away, the brain goes, mm-mm, and a thought comes in, wham! Suddenly we're thinking about what we're having for lunch. And so we try to let that go, and then wham! There's another thought where I'm imagining myself resolving that argument that I had with someone last week where I lost. And how could have I made a better argument? Or wham! Suddenly I'm thinking about what I'm doing at work tomorrow. So in order to deal with this, what sometimes actually in the Eastern tradition called the monkey mind, the mind which is just jumping around all over the place like monkeys jumping between trees, is to focus our attention on a particular word in order to come back to focus. And so the word which is recommended in this particular strand of Christian meditation which is carried forward by the World Community for Christian Meditation is a prayer word, Maranatha, which is one of the, Aramaic words, or one of the few Aramaic words which is preserved in the New Testament. Once in one of Paul's, the first letter to the Corinthians, where Paul uses it. So some scholars think that it may have been used, it may have been a word that Jesus used, and that's why it's still there, because that was Jesus spoke Aramaic primarily. And there is some suggestion by some scholars that it may have been an early code word that Christian communities used like a secret word to get them into prayer meetings when they were being persecuted. They might knock on the door and say Maranatha as a kind of a code word to get in. So the way we meditate in this tradition, the way I'm going to invite us to do today for about 10 minutes, is to sit comfortably. Usually the most comfortable way of sitting for this type of prayer is to put our feet on the floor flat. Sometimes, particularly for people who are of shorter stature, whose feet can't sit comfortably on the floor flat while also keeping a straight back, this can be aided by putting a couple of books under your feet. But since you don't have a couple of books handy with you at the moment, I'd say just put yourself in whatever position is going to be most comfortable for you. But if you can, get your feet flat on the floor and the back reasonably straight, that's good. Hands resting on the legs, either palms up or palms down, depending on what feels most comfortable for you. Close the eyes gently. If you're comfortable to do that, if that is not comfortable, you could just crack them open very slightly. And the idea there is just to remove visual distraction as much as possible. And just to gently start saying the word in four equal parts. So ma, ra, na, tha. Ma, ra, na, tha. And to just keep saying that gently. And every time that you become aware that you're not saying the word anymore, just gently return to saying the word. If you're aware that you're suddenly thinking about something else, just keep coming back gently and simply to saying the word. And we'll do that for about 10 minutes. And if the little app on our phone works, you'll hear a little chime to begin and end the 10 minutes.
Thank you.
So normally the recommended time for a period of meditation is about 20 to 30 minutes. So we just had a little experience of 10 minutes, a little snapshot. So would anyone like to say anything about what you noticed?
The monkey mind was active.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sound, maybe.
Sound, yeah.
Became very aware of the noise outside. But I lost awareness of my own hands.
Sorry?
I lost awareness of my own hands. I felt as if they disappeared.
Oh, that's interesting. Lost awareness of your own hands. Okay. Interesting, meditating in a room full of people instead of just on your own. Mm. Yeah, I found meditating for half an hour with 200 people in the room was an extraordinary experience. Went quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so time can sometimes take on a different dimension. Is anyone aware of the nature of the mental distraction, like running mental imaginings? We've talked a lot about physical awareness. I often imagine myself doing things at work. Did anything not so much mental? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Without doing that, there's all those other distractions.
Yeah. And was people aware that as you became aware of those other distractions, you were able to return to the word? So were you aware of hearing the word when that happened?
Yeah. Mm. Lose the word. The word still kept going on. But
yep. Yeah, so that sometimes happens here. We get multitasking happening in the brain. Yeah, yeah, I'm aware of that too.
Mm.
Yeah, sometimes some people find it very helpful to link the word to their breathing. Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sleep within the middle of it, and it's going around me,
And then did you return to your word? The brain's an amazing thing. So, just to put this into a little bit of context in the Christian tradition. So, the basic point of this type of prayer is that it's a practice of what in the metanoia, or it's a Greek, but to practice repentance, to practice the constant turn. Practice the. That's right. Yeah. Practice the constant returning of our attention back to God, where the Maranatha means to come Lord, that's what it means, come Lord, or the Lord is coming, can be either one. So come Lord is a prayer, and every time we become aware of a thought, a sound, anything except for the word, multitasking, anything at all, to refocus back on to the singular hearing of a single word, which is a single minded intention to our goal. Come, Lord, or Maranatha. The value of using a foreign word is that it doesn't evoke particular images. By the way, the thing about multitasking, it's a little bit like driving a car. You know, you can do about 10 things at once. You can get to your destination and not know how you got there. So the word Maranatha is simply a constant reminder of our ultimate destination. And opening the door of the heart and inviting the spirit of the indwelling Christ in. So you might think of it as invitation to God to come into my heart. Without actually thinking that that's what I'm doing. Oops. The cultivation of an inner stillness beyond the mind, beyond the senses, and beyond the emotions. Or as it said in that little book this morning, the stilling of the waters. This stillness is a gift. So we cannot achieve this stillness by trying to be still. And Sarah Bachelard actually used a lovely phrase in her lectures, which was a quote from Maggie Ross: "Liminality is as far as self-consciousness can get us. The human being, the human mind can only take us to liminality, to that in-between space. So, morning twilight and evening twilight are liminal spaces between two different states. So." In prayer, we often talk about liminality as taking us to the edge of something. So the prayer word can take us to the edge of something beyond which it can go no further, and God can come to us as grace or through grace. So whenever you pray, go into your room, your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this is actually a form of prayer which doesn't involve asking for anything except the presence of God. However, it does lead to action. So it has fruits, and the fruits that people often report when they've been meditating for any length of time is people report a greater awareness of the fruits of the spirit within them. So joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. So at the meditation conference, I was talking to a woman from North Queensland, actually, who said she had 12 grandchildren. And she said, "I've become aware that as I've meditated more, I've become more patient." Well, there you go. That's one of the fruits of the spirit. And one of the reasons for that is that our impatience is a desire to achieve, we get attached to achieving some kind of end. And the practice of meditation is the constant practice of releasing distraction and therefore releasing the energetic forces within our own psyche that are trying to basically possess us at any particular moment. So, well, there it goes. I've had a space invader here who's come in. It's trying to grab the power, grab my ego consciousness and take it somewhere. And as soon as I become aware of that, to bring it back to the prayer word, is a constant process of releasing those possessive forces of the psyche that are trying to grab me. And therefore it is a practice of freedom in a way. Focused intentionality rather than reactive hyperactivity. Can anyone identify hyper-reactivity in themselves? Or is it just me? Sometimes. So, Thomas Merton, who was one of the great 20th century promoters of this type of prayer, it is in deep solitude and silence that we find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brother and sister. So the intention of Christian meditation is to become more loving. Actually, the intention of Christian meditation is God. But through God, who is love, to become more loving. So that's the relationship between the inner and the outer. Does that make sense?
Is it possible we just think that our often need to have God and let what happens be God? I hear people getting caught up with having to brand the meditation of Christianity so they don't feel like they're being dragged away into dangerous places. But is it possible that... Oh, sorry.
Yep. And that's true. And as soon as we think that, we could say our mantra. That's right.
Yeah.
Task focused. It doesn't really matter, Ken, I think. Yeah. So letting go of task. That's right, it's part of the hyper-reactivity because task is all about doing something. It doesn't probably, in terms of the psychology of it, matter what the word is or what the focus is. It doesn't necessarily have to be Maranatha. And that's probably what... you cannot not have a focus. I guess what I'm saying, in responding to what you're saying, is we cannot not have a focus. It'll always be something, even if it's the thought you just had. So that's fine. It's just a matter of choosing a focus in terms of the psychodynamics of it. But if our intention is, as Christians, is to, which it may not be, but if our intention as Christians is to have unity with the God who is love, Maranatha makes sense as a prayer word. And hence it's the World Community of Christian Meditation. Or as Sarah said, why not just meditate? Because it connects us to a tradition. It connects us to the Jesus story, which we may wish to do or not. Anyway, so my time's nearly up. And John Cassian, the World Community for Christian Meditation tracks this particular practice of focusing on a prayer word back to the Desert Fathers and Mothers of the 4th, 5th centuries. John Cassian was a monk who lived in the desert for a while and eventually, with great reluctance, was appointed Bishop of Gaul, I think. But he wrote a series of his reflections of what he'd learnt in the desert called The Conferences. And his description of the prayer word, 3 or 4 pages of beautiful writing in here about the word, the repeated practice of the word as the practice of prayer as being a little... practice for beginners. So the monks would go to him and say, teach us how to pray. He said, we need something to get us started on this journey of prayer. And he said, Germanus comes to Cassian and says, "We come here to you because of the astonishment we felt at that first conference of yours." That is, of Cassian's. "But an even greater amazement grows in us now. What you are teaching us is inflaming us with a desire for perfect blessedness. And yet we are very discouraged when we see how little we know of the route which would lead us to such sublimity." So it says, give us something that will get us started here. A formula, hence our anxiety to find a formula which would enable us to think of God and to hold incessantly to that thought, so that as we keep it in the view, we may have something to return to immediately whenever we find that we're somehow slipping away from it into task. It will be there for us to take up once more without wasting time in searches or in painful detours. So what do we do with this monkey mind, they say? And Isaac the monk replies, "You are quite right to make the comparison between training in continuous prayer and the teaching of children who at first do not know the alphabet, do not recognise letters and are unable to write it with a sure and firm hand. Models are put before them, carefully drawn in wax. By continually studying them, by practicing every day to reproduce them, they learn to write." So he says, learning to pray is like learning to write. You need a model or a practice, something you copy. The same happens with contemplation. You need a model and you keep it constantly before your eyes. You learn either to turn it in. And then he goes on, Isaac says, "There is something which has been handed on to us by some of the oldest of the fathers." These are the desert fathers who went away, and they thought that when the institutionalisation of the church by the state was a really, really bad idea, and they whipped out into the desert and lived in caves so that they could commune with God directly and not get caught up in the kind of state taking over the church. "So this is something which has been handed on to us by some of the oldest of the fathers, and it's something which we hand on to only a very small number of souls eager to know." Ooh. Are you eager to know? It's a secret. "To keep the thought of God always in your mind, you must cling totally to this formula for piety. Come to my help, O God, Lord, hurry to my rescue." So that was Cassian's prayer word. "Come to my help, O Lord, O God, Lord, hurry to my rescue." Every single time.
Which century?
This is early 5th century. He wrote this, the conferences. So now that's a long phrase to remember. The prayer, one of the famous prayer words of the Russian tradition was, "O Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And John Main, who recovered this tradition, Benedictine monk who recovered this tradition in around about 1950s in Montreal, recommended the word Maranatha because it's short and singular, but the basic principle of repetition. My time's up. Any quick final comments or reflections?
If it's possible, could you send a copy of that, what you've been sharing?
These PowerPoints? Yeah. Sure, yep. John Main handed it on to Lawrence Freeman. Lawrence Freeman's kind of cranked it up into a world community of Christian meditation. Michael and Rani went to Montreal and brought it back to Mount Hawthorne. That's the tradition.